please call the meeting to order.
And I'll note for the record, we have both Commissioner Escara and Commissioner McDonald present for this meeting process, and we'll just go down the agenda.
Okay.
Okay.
Down to the action items.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, so we're discussion on an action on interview process, including determining manner of appearance for interview by applicants in person, telephonic, letter, etc., time allotted for each interview, and other similar processes for the conduct of interviews.
Yeah, so I kind of, when I put on the agenda, kind of just to discuss how you folks want to do it, and just kind of go in order. We have 9 applicants, and we have 5 positions to fill. We had 4 that were on the panel currently, and one moved out of, you know, he moved out of the city by a block.
Oh.
You know, they bought a new house, and it was just a block away.
They're
in Benita. No.
Yeah, so that's why we're down there, that person. Then we have another person that's holding over, that isn't going to do another term, but they're holding over until we find somebody.
Okay.
So we were originally down 3, but now we're down 5. And so I provided the resumes and applications to the extent we got them. You have various options. You can interview all of them, or you can interview whatever numbers you want. Mm-hmm. That's up to you folks. I kind of figured what I thought was maybe 20 minutes each if we interview them. That's how long it will take to ask and answer the questions and get some feedback. And that turns into 180 minutes, which is 3 hours. Just if you interview, because it's 20 times 9, that's 180, isn't it? I could be wrong. I don't do math. I have to double check.
You got it.
Yeah, times 20 times 9, yeah. Maybe it's not, 20 times 9. Okay. It's 180, okay. Well, when I do labor negotiations, we get good at numbers, and then I forget math. Yeah, in labor negotiations, it's like, they go, okay, what's 1% of this? And like, everybody knows the number at the same time.
Good.
And then after, yeah. So yeah, 180 is 3 hours, 60 minutes. So, you know, just to put it in perspective.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the time. You could do it all in one meeting, or you could break it up in 2 or 3 meetings, do 3 at a time, over a short period, and then have the last meeting to kind of go over. You know, what I kind of fear, if you break it up, we could do where we talk about the ones that were interviewed there, get like an order of who you really liked, and then, you know, kind of the next meeting, do the same thing. That way, you have a cumulative kind of thing.
True.
You know, and then the other one, we could also do them over the phone if it's easier for some, or we could do it live. I tend to think it's better to actually see the person. It also shows their commitment to come down in the evenings, because that's the bulk of the work.
Yeah.
And they also get to assess for themselves, hey, I haven't, how easy for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what this first section is, however you want to do it. So this is kind of going in order. Do you guys want, what type of interview do you want?
I like in person.
Me too.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll do in person.
Yeah.
And how long? 20 minutes?
If he's suggesting, if Simon, you, are these like the typical questions you ask usually?
Yeah.
And that's how long it typically takes? You give a few minutes
and
for each question?
Yeah, and I kind of, just by way of background of how I came up with the time and things like that, is the Board of Ethics also does interviews for Campaign Contribution Enforcement Authority panel.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are attorneys that enforce our campaign contribution ordinance, and they've interviewed 9 or more. I know they've spent a lot of time in the past. They allot like half an hour, and they pretty much stick to it, and I think the time frames work.
Because that's a lot of questions, 8 questions for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I definitely, for them to answer our questions, definitely 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe then after that, would be when we want, if they, like this last question, you know, any questions or anything else that they want us to consider can be like the last 10 minutes or so. Because eight questions is a lot.
Yeah. I think the big one is like, why do you want to be on the boards?
Yeah.
What experience do you have?
Yeah.
We can, like three can be out. Describe your experience in ethics matters. What do you think your role is while serving on the Board of Ethics? It could be taken up by three.
Have they received a copy of the code section 2.01?
I haven't sent them. The city clerk's office has been coordinating with them, but I can have the both the code and 2.28 given to them. That way they prepare.
Because
I've seen the interviews where we've had other. I've also seen other interviews for boards and commissions with council, and it's interesting how you have people who completely know everything and have reviewed the right stuff, and other people that have like nothing because they don't know where to find stuff, and so we can help them out there. Because it's not really a test of that. It's really just kind of getting their opinions on it.
You probably get a copy, which includes, obviously, the guiding principles.
Oh, yeah, that's 2.01.
Specific prohibition, yeah.
Yeah, it's in 2.01. And then 5 is really just a question of a lot of the stuff that when we get a complaint, generates media attention, depending on who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Publics come in. It gets some really good debate out of it. Both from the public and the board members, so they kind of need to know how to handle high profile cases.
What do you mean by hearing officer?
You folks, when you hear a complaint, you're the hearing officer in the case.
Okay.
You know, so you're not an advocate for the person who's filing the complaint or the city official that's the subject of it. You make a decision, just like a judge would. So we could say hearing officer or judge.
Whatever you think is best.
Yeah, or we can explain it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they'll have around like 2 minutes or something to kind of answer each question.
Yeah, I think with...
We can change them around a little bit. They don't have to be exactly like this.
Okay.
Whatever we feel more comfortable with, I think, is the way to approach this.
Yeah, but the questions are pretty basic. Why do you want to be on the Board of Ethics?
Yeah, those are.
That'll be a big one. What experience do you have? Mm-hmm. It's kind of beefing up their thing. Telling them that you're going to be hearing cases, which is the fourth one. On the Board of Ethics, you may have occasion to hear complaints regarding violations of specified provisions. Are you familiar with the code? And we'll get them copies of that.
Do you typically expect new members on the board to know this stuff? Is that like a prerequisite?
No, there's no prerequisite, but it kind of, you know.
Or at least be familiar with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I tend to think
at least having read it or having perused it, you know.
Like okay.
It, yeah.
Then that's a good question we should ask.
And then have you ever been a hearing officer or person that hears a case and makes a decision? I could add that. We could take out, have you ever presented? I just think asking them if they've ever been a hearing officer, the person that makes decisions, enough. Because that they could expand on it and say, you know.
Have they ever been on a board, on any board? You know, that would make them a hearing officer. And they've had experience doing that.
Yeah, that could be a follow-up to what makes you qualified. You can ask that. Have you ever been on board or commission? Okay.
Maybe that could be the first question. Have you ever been on a board or a commission? Then the second, why do you want to be on this particular board?
Okay, could do that.
And then what's your experience that you think qualifies? And then the rest of the questions. I think these questions are good.
Yeah, they're high profile cases. I could take the bottom three, describe role, type, number. That's really more for us. The question is, have you had any experience?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the rest is kind of follow-up prompts for us. Do you have any conflicts that prevent you from serving on the Board of Ethics? That's kind of already answered because one of the application questions are asked about potential conflicts.
Oh, really? What question?
In the application.
Like their time or something?
No. Question number 23 says, do you have any conflicts of interest as defined by below? And then it goes through the ones that would be disqualifying.
Okay.
They've already answered that, so it's kind
of.
We
probably don't need to ask that.
Yeah.
That won't really discern for us any information of whether they're qualified, anyways.
Yeah. And then, is there any information you would like us to consider? It's kind of they may want to say something.
Yeah.
That they think is relevant.
Yeah, we should leave that one there.
Yeah, that because you know we may think something's relevant, and then they say something, and we're like, oh, okay. You know, it gives them up. And then any questions for us?
No, the six we're going to eliminate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll start off, have you served on a board or commission? Why do you want to be on the board? Why are you qualified? The question, you may hear complaints. Are you familiar with the code? Have you ever been a hearing officer or person who hears a case and makes a decision? And then the high profile question. And then is there any other information you want to consider and questions for us?
That would work for me.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll ask those questions.
Okay.
Okay.
And once you've retyped it or reprinted it,
I will send it back out.
Send it to us.
Yes. So one is a live interview.
Insert it in here.
Two, we'll use these questions as modified. If we get one or two people that want to appear telephonically, are you okay with doing that?
I'm okay with it.
If they really want to, then yeah, that's fine. We can.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let you folks know, and then
okay.
and you can let me know what you think on that.
Okay.
I think 20 minutes would be good, but maybe we can discuss for about 5 minutes or so. We can discuss the interview. You know,
well, we probably would come in early, maybe discuss who we're going to interview, do the interview. And then once they leave, we should leave some time at the end to discuss the candidates that we just interviewed and come to a consensus on the ones that we just interviewed, which ones we like the most. And then at the end, whether we do it for 2 days or 3 days, depending on how many we interview, then at the end we can rate them all and then see which out of, if we interview all nine, you know, which five do we like the most?
Yeah, we can do that. Okay. And I think that's what we've done in when we did the campaign contribution is we kind of go over them initially first, and then after each one, people kind of talk about each one for 5 minutes. That's why they're allotted half an hour. That included some discussion.
Make notes.
Well, I teach
and then invite the other one in.
Yeah, I teach the interview process for the city of San Diego, so that's how we do it.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that's
perfect.
Perfect.
I know,
that's
this is
for
like
us.
Perfect for me.
Yeah.
I teach people how to conduct the interview process, so now I'm going to go through it with you guys here.
Perfect.
Super. Okay.
And then the other one is from the people you'd like to interview. I was thinking we can go through these and eliminate some, but my recommendation is not to eliminate any now because there's 5 spots we have to fill.
Yeah.
So the more people that we can get, the better.
I think all 9 of them are fine with me.
Yeah. So
I was.
Is that okay with you?
Well, now that I know that we have 5 vacancies, there were 2 that I was thinking we wouldn't interview because I reviewed their application. But since we have so many vacancies, maybe it just makes sense to interview them anyways because maybe they'll say something that is better. The 2 that I was kind of on the fence, it was just because on their application when it was asking, why do they want to be on the board or something, they only said like 1 sentence, for transparency, or like something where other people wrote like a whole essay or something about their experience with their work or something. But I think that since we have 5 vacancies, we might as well just interview them all.
Yeah. So who were the 2 you were concerned about?
I made notes. McCray, number 7, and Carmen Torres. Those 2 where I was on the fence. The one that I liked the most was Christine Kluck.
Number 4.
Yeah, because she took some classes in ethics when she was in college.
Which one? Kluck?
Kluck.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that would be interesting to see if she would talk about that during the interview, maybe, because maybe that's relevant.
Yeah.
Everybody else was fine.
Yeah.
But we can definitely interview them all and see how it goes.
Yeah, wasn't the one of the people an administrative law judge? A retired?
Yeah, well, there was two that...
So
we had a couple teachers. So the second person, John Castello, yeah, he was attorney. Well, I think that was the only one. Yeah, he was an attorney and, yeah, law judge or something like that,
yeah.
I wrote down.
Yeah. And just so you know, if you're not familiar with the Board of Ethics, there's seven people on the board, or they're supposed to be, and what they do is a combination of things. Their role are defined in Chula's Municipal Code Section 2.01, which is the city's code of ethics, and then 2.28 is the Board of Ethics, and it prescribes its procedures, how it does things. In the code of ethics, it really is broken down into three different categories. One are guiding principles. These are kind of laudatory or kind of aspirational goals that really you talk about, you know, you're supposed to always act in the best interest of the city. And given politics and policies and beliefs, that's always, you know, controversial, and there isn't really a right answer necessarily. It depends on so it has those kinds of things, acting in the best interest of cities, always making them look good, things like that, which are more kind of setting a high standard, so we try to go to that whenever we're trying to make a decision. If you violate those, so somebody says you didn't act in the best interest of the city by approving this development project, you know, there's no right or wrong for that ethically, but it's just, you know,
it
forces at least the person to think about, is this the right thing for the city? You know, and then it makes them, you know, wrestle with the issues of constituents, developer versus residents, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the guiding principles. The B ones, which there's special rules for the Board of Ethics members in terms of conflicts of interest that they should avoid and making statements. And then the last component are specified prohibitions. The specified prohibitions are things that people can get in trouble for, and these are very specific. And the reason they're actually specific is because due process requires notice and opportunity to be heard. And if they're too vague or too broad, nobody really knows how to conduct themselves. I'll give you an example. In the fix-it ticket section, like if you get a fix-it ticket for expired registration, usually it's a fix-it ticket. However, a police officer, and you show that you registered your car, and it'll get dismissed with a fee. However, if the police officer can check on it that says that they're not authorizing a fix-it ticket, that they have to fix it and pay a fine, they check the box that says persistent neglect. However, the term persistent neglect, I don't know whether that's 30 days, because, you know, if you don't pay your bill on time, it's 15 days till the first one hits, and then they increment the fine. So is it 15 days? Is it 30 days? Is it 45 days? But I know after 6 months, if you don't register it, they can tow your car.
Mm-hmm.
So persistent neglect is anywhere from 1 day to 6 months. People don't know when the line is, and so that's why we're more specific on the specified prohibitions, whereas the other one says the goal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that.
Okay.
And then so that's in 2.01, the Code of Ethics, and it only covers specified city officials, which is the mayor, council member, city attorney, city manager, department heads.
Mm-hmm.
So we may get a complaint about, you know, a police captain. They're not in that category,
yeah.
So we don't have jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So 2.28, that gives the procedures that we follow. Somebody files a complaint, we have a complaint form that we've worked on that provides a lot of detail is what we want. Then when the complaint comes in, we do what's a prima facie review, where we assume every fact in the complaint is true, but they have to have some facts that show that those specified prohibitions are violated. There's elements to it, and so each one has to be shown there. If anything is missing or the statements are conclusionary, you know, he accepted a bribe. Well, like, okay, well, when, how much, for what? You know, if there's not that, then it doesn't get there. Or they said they did something bad, but we don't know what the bad is. It doesn't get there.
Yeah.
But if they sit there and say that they used their personal position for gain when they went into a store, demanded a discount, and said that they were the city manager, you know, and you know, that's getting closer to, to violating the prohibition. And it probably would get past the prima facie showing. And then once we get there, we go to a probable cause hearing and then a full hearing if there's enough. And then the person that's making the complaint, they bear the burden. There's an opportunity for the Board of Ethics to appoint an investigator, but that's really if the board has questions on facts that have come up, and then we could send somebody out to get it.
Okay.
You know, so so stuff like that.
So
and then that's the hearing role in enforcing the Code of Ethics. They also participate in making recommendations to the City Council to improve transparency and open government and ethical behavior. So one of the things they worked on that we're still, unfortunately, from my side, we're still working on the last thing was having a lobbyist registration ordinance that we started. One of the things that the people that the stakeholders we've been working with, they think we should have a corresponding policy for City Council. So we're creating an ex parte policy in terms of what they can do and what they disclose when they meet with people and things like that. So that way we get both sides. And they played a great role in organizing it, coming up with different ideas, how to resolve things. And so they'll be part of, when we move forward, the presentation to council. They also helped out when we did, you know, created the Code of Ethics and then the processes. They you know, myself and they, we appeared together and gave it to council. And it's a good group. We I know when we redid the Code of Ethics and the changes to 2.28, council didn't accept them initially. They actually said no. They had a couple of questions.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and so rather than letting it die, we took notes as to what they did. We came back, and so what the Board of Ethics, what they did was, they said, this area, this is what you say. We think this is what we should do, and we'd either, you know, come up with new language, or if the board agreed, we accepted. But we gave them alternatives. This is what we think, but here's how it looks like if you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And they came back and ultimately adopted. And they actually liked the exchange. They thought it was reasoned and helpful, as opposed to something just dying. Because
now we're working on the lobbyists.
The lobbyists. The lobbyists are lobbying against it. So kind of funny.
And the City Council.
Yeah. So, in a certain way. Yeah, they can do it before they have to disclose. So, we're still moving on. It hasn't died. You know, it's just we have the last thing we did internally was we got samples of ex parte policies for other city councils and moving there. I want to get it done. So that would be good. Particularly as the city's reached the point where we're building back again, and there's, you know, millennia, we still have the innovation district, we still have potential for the school, and then the Bayfront, and these things actually get built, I think there's more transparency needed, because we're going from a city that's, you know, I think we're going to hit 300,000 by the next census. So we're
well, I'm
big,
sure
big city.
There's always construction, I think, going on East Chula Vista, right? There's all these new houses.
Oh yeah.
Up going, yeah. It's
yeah.
Building fast.
Yeah. So I think that's part of it. Yeah, it's
amazing.
Yeah. So that's what the Board of Ethics is, and we've got a good diverse group.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm the lawyer that's assigned to them regularly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so we've kind of agreed then on a face-to-face interview.
Yeah.
20 minutes and 5 minutes to kind of discuss that particular applicant.
Yeah.
And then go to the next one.
Yeah, and then do you want to do them all in one day, or do you want to break them up in... I think breaking it up into three is kind of hard because it's 3 days.
I think if we can do it in half, 2 days, because one day is too much.
It's up to you.
I think 2 days
want.
Is okay. That's
okay.
Not too rigorous, but it's not spreading it out, so we're spending so much time.
2 days? 2 days is good.
Yeah, and that turns it into, after my math here.
Well, if it's 3 hours.
Hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about like right. That's a regular long meeting.
Yeah.
Then go five and four.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll break it up in two. Do you want me to just keep them in this alphabetical order?
That's fine with me.
Because the one thing is the two applicants you wouldn't have interviewed would come on the second day,
Oh.
Okay.
Which is fine because you probably, that works. So I will do 1 through. Do you want to do 5 the first day and then 4 the second?
Let's do 5 to get it done, and then on the last day we have less.
Yeah, okay. So I'll do 5 and 4, and then okay, and then time-wise to start them is 6:30 good or?
Yeah.
Or six.
I mean, I can be here at 6.
It's up to you.
You want to do 6?
Yeah, because I mean, I leave at 5:30 and I get here about 6, so we can start. Then it's fine.
So. Okay. So how about, do you want me to set the meeting at 6, and then we'll bring in the first interviewee. Do you want them to start at like 6:10? That way it gives you like 10 minutes to get organized and where
that's
you
good.
Want.
Yeah.
And then 6:10, that gets us to, okay.
6:10, then 30 or 25 minutes after.
Okay. We'll break them up in 25-minute increments. Okay. So I'll do the math to figure out the order on that. I think that's pretty much it.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the dates of these, are you reaching out to the applicants to see when they want to do it, or are we setting it up what days we want and then they need to like fit it in?
I was going to start off with days that you folks want.
Okay.
And then reach out to the applicants. I think the first thing is there any dates that are particularly bad for people? Are Mondays bad? Tuesdays bad?
I think Friday's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, Friday is bad.
Monday's probably bad.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think would be fine.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to propose Tuesdays are bad for us because we have city council on Tuesdays.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
Wednesday,
Thursday. Okay.
Yeah, that's good with me.
Mm-hmm. And then I will avoid days in which you have, because you folks meet on.
We meet on Wednesdays.
Second Wednesday.
Right, yeah.
Wednesday. So I'll try to avoid the days because we meet the Board of Ethics every third Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be a Wednesday Thursday when you folks don't have meetings. We'll try to figure that out.
I think that would be good. Wednesday Thursdays.
Yeah. Okay. We'll work on that.
Six 6 o'clock, and then we'll start at 6:10.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And are you planning on doing that in the next month?
Yeah.
The sooner the better, really.
Yeah. I think the week of the first week in September is not good because people are.
Well, that's already next week, and it's a holiday.
Yeah, we don't have time, so I'll start looking. Do you want me to start the week of the 16th of September?
That's
me. Yeah. And then the next weekend.
On a trip.
How about the 11th and 12th? Okay.
Wait, don't we have the charter?
We might have charter.
We might have that on the 11th.
Oh, okay.
And then when yours is on, if you guys had a meeting, what day did you say it was on?
It would be on the 18th of September.
Okay. I'm out of town September 26th. Through October 11th. So
wow.
I know. I'm celebrating my first wedding anniversary.
Good.
Oh, congratulations.
Wonderful. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start then October the 14th.
Well, I'm thinking, how about we do this? How about the 12th and the 19th, or is that too far apart?
I mean, that's fine with me. So at least we can get them done then.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be gone from the 12th, probably 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. Okay. So the week of the 16th, how's that for you?
Or how about the 19th and the 25th?
Well, I'm leaving the next
day.
I don't,
okay.
I mean, maybe the 24th. I could squeeze it in if we did it on the 19th and the 24th.
Okay. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay.
September 19th and the 24th?
Yeah.
That's a Tuesday.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll just pick a, we won't be in this area, we'll be in building B, I would assume.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'll tentatively start, and if not...
We're looking at the 19th and the 24th.
Yeah, of September, and then in October, dates after the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
And in October, right, it would be the week of the 14th.
Yeah, I'm pretty much open up.
Because you're back on the 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing I forgot that we did last when we interviewed the. I don't know if we necessarily have to interview them in this order. What I'll do is, when I talk to the clerk, is I'll say on the first day we would like to interview five people,
okay,
and have them have the first five that's confirm it. We'll book them for that, and then
okay,
the second four,
yeah,
for that. That way, there's more flexibility on their schedule.
Okay.
Because one person may go, I can't make it on 19th, but I'm free on the 24th.
Okay.
So I'll
do
it that.
Fine.
And I'll
yeah,
let you, and once we get that short up, we'll give you the order before, so we know they're.
Yeah, this is good.
Okay. So we'll hopefully we can make it work.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
So we could do all of them by the 24th.
Potentially.
If they're able to come in.
Yeah. The goal will be to try to get everybody there. So, for example, if we're able to get four on one day and then three on the other,
mm-hmm,
then the other two we can schedule at after we come back.
That'll
but
work.
By then, you know, mm-hmm, that way we keep
yeah,
it moving.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. However it works if they're available
yeah,
on those days.
Because I kind of figure the second day we can put an order, one, two, three. All the interview people, you can rank them all. And then there's two that are left. You interview them, and then the other two, and they're either going to bump people up or they're not.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So we can do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is that okay?
I think we've covered everything.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, let's close up the meeting then.
Yeah. And I'll note for the record, if there's any member of the public, there's opportunity to speak now, but there's no member of the public here, so we've covered that. Okay, so I think we're good. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah. One
thank
year anniversary. Congrats.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. We're having my wife and I were